From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Jeff Burkholder and Jeremy Bentley, the creators of the Ourobros, a zany weekly webcomic about two musician brothers who are living on the road chasing their dreams in the independent music world. Along the way, they've picked up a couple bandmates and are gearing up for a new chapter. The origin story has been unfolding over the past 3 years, but Jeff and Jeremy are ready to take the strip to a new level. They launched a Kickstarter campaign this week to publish the first Ourobros book.
We're seeing the first 3 years of the comic told in the comic strip format as the story of how the band got together. Mm-hmm. We have a definitive conclusion that says, okay, these people are a unit, and now we're going to send them off. This book will collect the strips, the comic strips, like that part of the comic's life will be in one volume of a book.
Coming up, it's Jeff and Jeremy from the Ourobros webcomic. And we're skirting the curtain with Joanna Underhill from Creative Works of Lancaster. Joanna joins us each month with an update on the Lancaster area theater scene. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. This Thursday night, it's another Central Pennsylvania showcase at the World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. On Thursday, June 6, it's Left of Center Night number 2, featuring 5 bands from Central Pennsylvania, including the Lone Wolf Project, Douglas Thomas Band, Brethren, Secondhand Suits, and Hot Jam Factory. The show starts at 7 p.m. and tickets are only $5. Central PA pays a visit to the City of Brotherly Love at the World Cafe Live on the upstairs stage this Thursday, June 6, at 7 p.m. This Friday, June 7th, is First Friday in Lancaster. There will be plenty going on downtown, so be sure to get out, grab some dinner, visit the galleries and shops, and celebrate all the goodness that Lancaster has to offer. And if you're into female singer-songwriters, you're in luck. Two of the best that the area has to offer will be playing downtown Lancaster on Friday night. Katie Glorioso will make an appearance at the Chameleon Club, along with Face for Radio, Frizz Bitar, and Saint Sycamore. That's a 21-plus show starting at 8 p.m. for only $5. And the Candy Factory is hosting a concert in the lounge featuring Lancaster songstress Jessica Smucker, along with touring Rust Belt vagabond Greg Klima. The show starts at 8 p.m. It's a suggested donation of $5 to $10. The Candy Factory is located at 323 North Queen Street, but the lounge is in the back of the building off of Christian Street. Check out the show post for today's episode for more details about these concerts, and be sure to get out and about this First Friday in Lancaster. Harrisburg friends, two Lancaster bands are heading your way on Saturday night, June 8th, at the Abbey Bar upstairs at the Appalachian Brewing Company on Cameron Street. It's the Slackwater News and my own band, Mark DeRose, and the Dreadnought Brigade in Harrisburg for a free show at ABC. Doors open at 8 p.m., the music starts at 9. It's Mark DeRose and the Dreadnought Brigade along with the Slackwater News, Saturday, June 8th, 9 p.m. at the Abbey Bar at ABC Harrisburg. And did I mention it's free? Joanna Underhill is the Vice Chair of Creative Works of Lancaster. Each month, she joins us for a look at what's going on in the Lancaster area theater scene. We're skirting the curtain with Joanna Underhill on Around the Wood Stove. Joanna, welcome back to the program. So great to see you.
So great to see you, Jason.
What do you have in store for us for June, Lancaster theater scene?
There's quite a bit happening in June.
Great.
June 9th at 7 p.m. and June 16th at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Prima Theater's show, Back to the 80s.
All right.
And it sounds like, when I first heard this title, I thought, oh, it just must be another like musical review of 80s songs. But if reading their description, it says it's 80s music adventure with a solid dose of theatricality.
Okay.
So that makes me think that there'll be a little more going on than just singing.
Than just singing the songs.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they work this. They've been talking about it for quite a while.
Yeah.
It's a lot of buildup, so I'm excited to see.
And I think it's exciting that it's at the Chameleon. I mean, it'll be nice to see something kind of non-traditional to be in that space.
Yeah.
And then next up, we have our old standby, the Fulton Theater.
Absolutely.
Presenting the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. That runs June 4th to the 30th.
Okay.
That is a Tim Rice, Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, the same people that did Evita, Jesus Christ Superstar, other big hits. And this is actually one of their earlier works. It's based loosely based on the biblical story of Joseph, who was given a multicolored coat by his father, Jacob. Joseph has the power of interpreting dreams, which then tell the future. And his brothers get all jealous of his coat, and they take him out, and they sell him off into slavery, and they come back and say, oh no, Joseph's dead. But then all sorts of interesting things happen.
Sounds delightful.
It is. It's a very popular show.
I don't know much about that kind of theater, but of course I know the name.
Yes. Yeah, everyone's heard of it. And interesting fact, it was originally done. They originally wrote it, a very scaled down version of it for like a school play for a school in England for middle schoolers to do, or maybe even a Sunday school thing. But the interesting thing is I've seen a documentary that says almost every child, at least through the 80s, probably into the 90s, you do Joseph at your school at some point. It's either like a choir project or a class project or an all-school project. And everyone's, oh, yes, Joseph in his dream coat.
Interesting. And,
yeah, so it had an interesting early history in the early 80s. I got to see it with Andy Gibb of, you know, the younger brother of the Bee Gees duo, the lead, when he was on tour. But then it had a second life in the 90s when Donny Osmond toured with it. And that's the version like everybody knows. There's DVDs of it. It's, you know, was, I mean, for like 10 years he toured with it. So
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he had done that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever wondered whatever happened to Donny Osmond.
That's what he was doing. Okay. He was out playing Joseph with his multicolored coat. Technicolor coat.
That had to be written sometime in the like late 60s.
Yes, and into the 70s.
Because
yeah.
Technicolor.
Exactly. It's funny, on the... They even have it on the Fulton's website, but on the script, on every time you ever do it, there's a little like symbol. It says Technicolor is copyrighted, you know, of the so-and-so Technicolor.
It's the trademark.
It's trademark. So they have to, I guess they had to really negotiate the use of that word.
Yeah, yeah, right. Probably not at the time, but once
right,
there
but
was
now,
some money.
When,
it,
once
not
it,
when it was a middle school.
Exactly. But once it became a commercial property, you had Technicolor left on it. So.
Oh, that's great. What else do you have for us?
Well, and the Fulton is also doing their last, for this year, their family theater plays. And they're doing Aladdin, the classic story. This is a zany version, it says. You'll meet a helpful pet monkey, an evil wizard, and a fast-talking female genie. Fun for the whole family. And it runs June 15th to the 29th.
Awesome. And those are Saturday morning, 11 o'clock.
Saturday mornings, 11 o'clock.
Those are great shows.
So here we have another favorite of our theater scene here is the After Performing Arts Center.
Of
because
course.
They never stop. It's show after
they
show.
Don't. It's just one after
you
the next.
You think they would get tired, but they don't. So they're doing Brighton Beach Memoirs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which is it's a comedy by Neil Simon. It's a classic.
It's like my wife's favorite movie.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great movie.
We're going.
Yeah, it's even better on stage.
Yeah,
have
we're
to
going.
Say. Right. Good.
I mean, she bought the movie and watched it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, this is, yeah.
Oh, well, it'll do a really good job with it.
I'm sure they
will. It's one of my favorites. I just think it's destined to be kind of one of those great pieces of classic theater. And it runs, so you know and can tell your wife, it's June 13th to the 29th.
Oh, perfect. I know we'll be around.
Yeah.
We're not vacationing those weeks.
Well, that's excellent.
So, that's great to know. Do we have anything else coming up in June?
We do. The People Shakespeare Project. I know you just had Laura on your podcast.
Absolutely.
The director, but I will give you those dates again.
Oh, yeah, please.
So they're producing Romeo and Juliet, June 21st through the 23rd, and that's free outside by the Swan Pond. Is that how you say that?
Swan Lake doesn't
Swan
feel right,
Lake
does it? No,
by
so it must
pond
be the must
with
be the
swans.
Swan, the Swan Pond.
Yeah, Swan
Duck
pond?
No, Swan Pond.
Swan Pond. It's not the Duck Pond. There are no quails there. So it's free. Okay, so that'll be free outside under the stars. And then again, June 28th to the 29th, and that's inside the Rafters Theater. And performances begin at 7:30. And an interesting note is the time period is set in the late 60s.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be a modern dress adaptation, which I know she likes to do with her shows.
Yeah, and I saw one of the summer shows a few years back, and it was outstanding. And they did they had an original music score, which I know talking to Laura recently,
they're going to do again.
Yeah, she was really excited about the composer that was going to write the score for it. So that'd be another that's another great show to see that right in that same time period. Wow, theater lovers' delight.
I know, and I got one more.
You got to be kidding me.
For puppet theater lovers.
Uh oh.
I finally looked up Hole in the Wall Puppet Theater to see what they were up to.
Sweet.
And they, starting on June 22nd, running all the way through August 24th, are doing The Wizard of Oz. And they're doing it Tuesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 11.
Okay.
So people out there can take the little ones.
Yeah, great summer.
The Wizard of Oz.
That's a great summer event then.
Yeah. And one of the actually really cool things we're getting on their website is, so their doors open at 9:30. Seems early for an 11 o'clock show. But what you can do is if you want, you can call and you can take a tour of the space with Robert Brock, who's the puppeteer. And he knows you can learn more about puppets than you ever thought existed. And it's kind of fascinating. So I would recommend that as well.
Hole in the Wall Puppet Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you so much for this monthly update, as always. A pleasure.
Thank you, Jason.
For me.
The pleasure is mine.
Joanna Underhill is a longtime theater professional here in Lancaster. She is currently a teaching artist at the Fulton's Academy of Theater and vice chair of Creative Works of Lancaster. You can learn more about the Academy of Theater at thefulton.org and keep up with our friends at Creative Works at their website, creativelancaster.org. The Oro Bros and the Never Ending Tour is a weekly webcomic created by artist Jeremy Bentley and writer Jeff Burkholder. Each week, a new strip is published online at orobros.com that chronicles the adventures of Stan and Balthazar Oro, along with the host of other fun characters as this band zigzags across the country navigating the unpredictable waters of the independent music world. I had a chance to chat with Jeff and Jeremy about the inspiration behind the comic and some of the characters, along with the new Kickstarter campaign that is being launched to compile the first 3 years of the comic into a single printed volume. It's Jeff Burkholder and Jeremy Bentley from the Oro Bros on Around the Wood Stove. Joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, it's Jeremy Bentley and Jeff Burkholder from the Oro Brothers, a webcomic, weekly webcomic, based right here in Lancaster. Welcome, gentlemen, to the program.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks for having us.
For anybody who's not familiar with your comic, or maybe not familiar with this idea of publishing comics on the web, let's start with some backstory. Like, generally, what is the Oro Brothers?
They're two brothers that, for reasons unknown to our readers, decided that they were going to leave home and with just a van and their musical instruments and see what life on the road would be like as independent musicians and just try to live on the road rather than have a particular home.
That's who are the Oro Brothers.
Yes.
But what is the Oro Brothers is a webcomic about them and their travails and trials and errors, very many of them, as they try to do this cross-country rock tour.
Jeff, how did you get into writing comics?
Well, I kind of fell into it. I grew up reading Peanuts and Garfield and things of that nature. Graduated to like The Far Side and Doonesbury and Bloom County and things like that. And then in college, I was a layout editor of the school newspaper, and we just didn't have long enough stories to fill in everything. And we would have these big holes. And so my editor would say, we need something to fill in this hole. So I would doodle like little talking heads. And it was kind of a spin off or a takeoff of The Far Side called The Lights On. And no one's home. And just dumb, lame little college jokes and things like that. But that led to me just regularly doodling these characters and telling jokes and so forth through them. And eventually, back in 2003, I decided to turn some of those characters into my own webcomic, Zoidland. And that's kind of how I got started in the whole thing, just wanting to tell a story with these regular characters.
Is that a weekly strip as well?
Yeah. It's ironic that we're bringing it up because I just announced that I'm going to be retiring it soon. So,
so this is the farewell.
Yeah, kind of. So long, Zoidland.
The So Long, Zoidland podcast.
Yeah. but I've also got The Social Life of Frank and Lynn that features on Ken Mueller's blog, Inkling Media. That's a weekly thing that I do too. Just two people in a internet cafe complaining about social media on a regular basis.
Let's switch gears then to your story, Jeremy. How did you get involved with webcomics?
I grew up drawing cartoon characters. I mean, that's all mainly I've ever drawn. I mean, I learned other things in art, classes in school and stuff like that. But it's always just been a love for drawing characters, caricatures, characters, and things like that. I did that throughout high school until I got turned on to independent music and the local music scene and decided that I would try my hand at playing the drums. Got into music, gave up drawing, and basically learned how to do music the hard way through trial and error, which is a lot of like the inspiration behind this comic. It's just deals with a lot of naivety and trying to figure out the music industry on your own. And after years of doing that and then doing some touring with that band, it was time to retire that. And I started reading comics online. I actually discovered web comics about 4, maybe 5 years ago. I'm pretty new to that scene as far as, at least in comparison with Jeff.
Right.
After reading all this stuff, at the same time, I was also still creating music with friends. We did a project called The French Revolution, which was just me and another friend that played in various bands together over the years. Our love for creating music and the idea of creating an album, music as an album form, led us to start a recording project called The French Revolution, which when we were done with an album, we would just put it up on a website for free for people to download, do whatever they wanted with. So while I was reading webcomics and also looking at like Flash cartoons and things like that, I was like, it would be cool to make a cartoon show of the band, because The French Revolution was not a band that played out. It played any gigs anywhere, or went on tour or anything. We were just
a studio
albums.
Project.
That's it. Okay. Yeah, so we never had any shows. So it's like, well, wouldn't it be cool if there were a cartoon, if the French Revolution was a cartoon band?
It'd be fantastic.
Yeah. So it was an idea that I tried to get off the ground with some various people, look for people that were interested in creating a web cartoon show, like in, you know, maybe about like 5-6 minute episodes kind of thing. That would be kind of like a cross between The Monkees and Scooby-Doo and
Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah, stuff that I liked when I was a cartoons that I liked when I was a kid, cartoon shows and other shows that I liked when I was a kid.
Zoinks! Hey, Scoob!
And so that was, I was like, yeah, let me try to do like a web cartoon about that. And never really got off the ground, and I didn't really know a lot about animation, but since I couldn't get enough people into it, I started teaching myself animation with Flash and frame by frame animation and stuff like that. And then I couldn't really get an artist to nail down for the position to create the art for the character art designs. And so I was like, well, let me try drawing myself. And then I started drawing myself. I started drawing the singer of the French Revolution, Daniel. And I eventually came up with like little walk cycles for several of us and things like that, just because, you know, I wasn't getting enough people involved. So I was just like, well, I guess I'm going to take this on myself too. And it was through all that I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. I would have to only spend my time with nothing else but trying to make a cartoon show if I wanted to do a cartoon show, because I would need a lot of people to be able to do it.
That's an ambitious project to take on by yourself.
And I did not know how ambitious it was until
Boy
I tried
howdy.
It. Because I never did it before. I never tried to do animation stuff. I never realized how many people it took. But since I was also reading a lot of webcomics then, after a while of kind of giving up on trying to make that band also into a cartoon show, I was like, you know what? This idea might work in comic strip format.
Right.
If I could just find the right person to collaborate with. And through Twitter and the friends I was making on Twitter, I discovered that Jeff was somebody local and was doing his own webcomic and had been doing it for 7 years at that point, I think. And I read through his stuff and I'm like, maybe this guy would help me create some kind of comic strip format of a band telling a story.
And he thought to himself, well, the drawing is terrible, but the writing is top-notch. I ought to talk to this guy.
I've proven that I can handle the drawing because I just drew myself on a piece of paper. So
here's a track from the band that started it all, the inspiration behind the Ourobros. It's the French Revolution with WMD on Around the Wood Stove. I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Today on the program, it's Jeremy Bentley and Jeff Burkholder, the creators behind the Ourobros and the Never Ending Tour, a weekly webcomic about life on the road for independent musicians, particularly Stan and Balthazar Ouro, along with a handful of recurring characters, including the latest two additions to the band, female bassist Al and guitarist Chester. It's the Ourobros on Around the Wood Stove.
Admittedly, I'm not a fan of webcomics, so your comic is the only one that I read.
Oh, wow.
And it's because, you know, I don't come from that perspective, but I was introduced to you through our friends at the Lancast, David Moulton.
Woo, David
and
Moulton.
Company. And you know, it's local, it's Lancaster, and the idea of a band and being on tour is close to me. I'm in the music business, and so I was immediately sort of drawn into the idea of the Ourobros Brothers and started following it a couple years ago. And I got to tell you, I mean, I'm just hooked in the story. I just love, you know what I mean? The characters have really developed over that time that I've been, you know, paying attention. And I wanted to just chat a little bit about some of the characters and some of the inspiration behind them.
Okay.
So when I first started reading the strip, it was just the two brothers. And at some point, you introduced Elle from Elle's Bells. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about... She's sort of my favorite character, I would say.
I think she's a lot of people's favorites, and she's definitely become our favorite, too, I think.
I want Chester to be my favorite character. But like, Elle's got that... This is going to be weird to say it, but she's sexy. So as much as I want Chester to be my favorite character, he's so not sexy to me.
Wow.
I'll admit that. So tell me the inspiration behind Al.
Talking about trying to make the French Revolution into a cartoon, I mean, since Jeff and I started talking, it took on an entirely different form.
Okay.
We literally created what this comic is together. So these characters, the Balthazar kind of looking like me is the closest you're going to get to any kind of relation from before. So anyway, with that out of the way, the idea of Elle was just something that we came up with in our first brainstorming session when we first met in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we needed a foil, somebody.
Yeah.
Because the brothers, the Ourobros themselves, are just ridiculous optimists.
yeah,
in doing this. I mean, Stan's a little more realistic, but still, they are head in the clouds kind of guys. And we needed somebody to show up and say, yeah, you know what? This life sucks. So that's kind of where Elle came out of, I think.
It was a cool way that you introduced her, you brought her in, then she sort of disappears. And at some point then in comes this Chester character.
Chester, yeah.
Dig back into to Chester's
He's just very out there and in his own world and in a different world than the brothers are, because they, like Jeff said, have their head in the clouds. Chester has his head in something entirely different.
Somebody else's clouds. He's like on Mars or something.
Yeah.
Very interesting character.
Yeah.
But actually, the visual of Chester came from a guitarist of a band that I was in that I toured with, who was this very muscular looking kind of football player almost type. Physique kind of guy or whatever, and you look at him and he just struck like such an intimidating figure, but he was the biggest geek. That's Chemina. I'm saying this in the nicest way possible. Chemina was his name. But I mean the visual for him, and even his name is based on Chem's initials. And it's, yeah, so Chem would just geek out about video games and about, you know, stuff like this. And he would tell us stuff, you know, when we were on tour, on the road, he would talk about stuff like we knew what he was talking about. And we had to get some clarification from him. So definitely the idea of having this guy that looks kind of like a jock, but acts like a nerd was the impetus.
Yes.
For that.
At the Wood Stove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Wood Stove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or sign up to get all of the Wood Stove House blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. And now back to the conversation with Jeff Burkholder and Jeremy Bentley, the creators of the webcomic The Ourobros and The Neverending Tour. The comic has been around for over 3 years as a 3-to-4-panel weekly comic strip, and the story has culminated to a point where the band has grown from just the two brothers, Stan and Balthazar, to a 4-piece powerhouse with the addition of Elle and Chester. A new chapter for the band and the comic is on the horizon, but in the meantime, Jeff and Jeremy have plans to compile all the strips to date into a single printed volume. We're talking Ourobros on Around the Wood Stove. Along with doing the weekly webcomic, now you have just recently launched a crowdsourcing campaign through Kickstarter.com, which is a fabulous way of, you know, generating money for some extended project. So I have to ask, tell me about the purpose of a Kickstarter campaign for a weekly webcomic.
Well, Jeff and I, being fans of comic strips and comics in general, and being avid readers, love the printed form.
Yeah.
Loved actually holding a book. And whether or not we ever had made income from the comic, it was just something that's like, it would be really cool to have a book for our shelves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, whatever we can do to make that happen at some point, we should try to do that, because it would just be so cool to collect that stuff into a book.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of webcomics have like advertising on their site so that the creators can continue to make their webcomics. Or they sell strips. And they find lots of creative ways of making money on mm-hmm. their strips. And when we started out with the Ourobros, one thing that the two of us really felt strongly about was that we weren't doing the strip to make money. We did it because we both had a love of these characters and the situation that we were setting them in, and telling a story, drawing a story, and sharing it with people. So that right from the start, we were like, we're not making money off of this, and that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do with this. But then when we got to the point where, you know, it would be so amazing to turn this into something that you can hold and tuck under your arm and not have to plug in. It's not that we need to, you know, get rich off of it, but we need some fun.
We just want to make it. We want to be able to make it. And it's at a point now that it's just very, very gradually, you know, we built the readership that we have to this point. And I know that several of them are actually other comic creators that you know, we are fans of each other's comics and have done things like this before through Indiegogo or Kickstarter. And other readers might like to have a book where, you know, there's just a little unique feature of having a signature in it or a little sketch or drawing or some of the various other rewards and incentives that, you know, we're offering to the Kickstarter campaign. And just like anyone else who's put out Kickstarter campaigns, it's allowing us to hopefully do something that we wouldn't have been able to do through traditional means. Yeah. If the Kickstarter gets funded, then we will have a short run of the first printing of it, and we'll see how it goes from there. The people who contribute will get their books, and we'll have some left over that we can have on hand to sell through the website in the future. Also, we're going to be doing our first creator-owned comic convention in September in Rockville, Maryland, called Small Press Expo, SPX. So that's gonna. Neither of us have ever exhibited before. Yeah. So we'll have if everything works to plan, we'll have some books to bring there and meet new people. And
I'm hoping to see some L cosplayers.
That. Yeah. Just keeping our fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll see somebody come to that one dressed up.
Take me to the top, because I love the top awards for Kickstarter campaigns.
Well, the top one we've got here is the entourage level, and that gets you everything.
Right,
you
know, the whole
kit and caboodle. Plus, we will make. If somebody gives us that amount of money, we will make them a recurring character, just what they look like. I mean, we're still going to come up with who the character is.
Sure.
But we'll send the person a signed print of the introductory strip featuring them when it publishes, and a signed frame character sheet. But yeah, you're going to get to be a comic book character. How cool is that?
You're a comic book character, and that's funding basically half of your goal.
Pretty much
$500 with a goal of $1,000. That's fantastic. So where does the comic go from here? So let's just, for the sake of argument, the Kickstarter's funded. Kickstarter's gonna be funded.
Yeah,
totally. Kickstarter's funded. The book is made. Is it back to weekly web comic strips?
Absolutely. Although we are one thing that some of our readers have expressed a certain amount of frustration with, and we express it ourselves, is that given that we only post weekly, there's only so much story that you can give in three panels,
right?
Which is what we typically have, three or four panels. So right now are in a short little hiatus, but when we come back from the hiatus after the Kickstarter campaign is over, we're going to be publishing larger strips. So we're going to be able to tell more story in one shot. And
still weekly.
Yeah, still weekly, but larger strips, because we have a tremendous amount of story written out. We've got like the next 3 or 4 years worth of storylines already mapped out.
Yeah. There's so much that we want to tell.
Yeah.
We want to tell a story. I mean, that's what we're passionate about, is telling a story. And the way that we're looking at this is that we're seeing the first 3 years of the comic told in the comic strip format as the story of how the band got together. Mm-hmm. We have a definitive conclusion that says, okay, these people are a unit, and now we're going to send them off. This book will collect the strips, the comic strips, like that part of the comic's life will be in one volume of a book. From there on out, it'll be more focused on comedic storytelling rather than making gag strips tell a continuing story.
I see.
We've done the origin story. Now it's time to move on and tell their life from there. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on 3 years and telling this, you know, telling the origin story. I wish you all the best with the Kickstarter and the future. I will be reading faithfully every week. So thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, Jason.
You can find the Oro Bros webcomic online at orobros.com. You can also link up from the show post for today's episode on our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.